We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a wonderful show for you this week. In this half hour of the show, we'll be interviewing Michigan State Senator Jeremy Moss. Recently came back from a mission to Israel, official, so we're going to see what kind of official things are going on between the state of Michigan and the state of Israel. We've got wonderful music sprinkled out throughout the show. The portion of the week is the portion of Re'eh. It's also this last week. Yesterday was Shabbos Mevorchim Elul, so Elul's coming up. We'll talk about getting ready for Rosh Hashanah, believe it or not. We've got an awesome story at the end. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. An Arab threw a grenade from a speeding car at hikers in central Israel. 17-year-old Rina Schnerg was killed and three others wounded. Police are looking for the attacker. In total, there were 28 terror attacks against Jews in Judea and Samaria this week, bringing the total number of attacks since the beginning of 2019 to 1,364. Rockets were fired from Gaza at southern Israel three nights this week. The rockets landed in an empty field. The Israel Defense Forces responded by firing on several military targets in northern Gaza. Terrorists along the Gaza border threw grenades at IDF soldiers. The attackers were shot and killed. Israel bombed a weapons depot. This is real news. Israel bombed a weapons depot in Iraq that was being used by Iran to move weapons to Syria. The attack is believed to be the first Israeli bombing in Iraq in nearly 40 years. An agreement was reached between, this is one of those backwards stories. This is like, I scratch my head every time I hear about this stuff. An agreement was reached between the Palestinian Authority and Israel, whereby Israel can now transfer about $500 million Israel collected for the PA. The PA has refused the payment since March, as Israel said it would duck the $11 a month that the PA pays to jailed terrorists and the families of killed terrorists. In other words, Israel's saying, here, we want to give you money. And the PA is saying, no, we don't want the money. There are no details of the agreement, but the PA has called terrorist payments a red line that could not be crossed. The man who shot an elderly man outside a Miami synagogue was arrested. The 30-year-old assailant, we don't give names of such people on the show. The 30-year-old assailant went to the police. This is like dumb, though. He went to the police claiming that a gun was stolen from his car. And his car happened to be the same type of vehicle that was seen leaving the scene of the shooting. The police found ammunition that matched the spent casings found at the synagogue in the guy's car. The guy he shot is in the hospital in moderate condition. And finally, some really good news for those who care. Amazon officially opened in Israel, inviting Israeli and international sellers to tap into the Israel market. As part of the launch, Amazon introduced a new Hebrew page. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herr Schultzmacher, you are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online Michigan State Senator Jeremy Moss, who is represents a district which includes, he'll have to tell me exactly, I'm not exactly sure, all the way from, I know, past Southfield to past Hazel Park. And for those who are listening outside the greater Detroit area, these are the inner ring suburbs of the state of Michigan. Mr. Moss has been involved with serving the community for, he doesn't look old enough, but I could say decades. If you told me decades, I'd say, no, he must have been in city government when you were like 12, Jeremy. But anyway, we're gonna welcome Jeremy Moss to the show, and thank you so much, Your Honor, for coming on.
Yes, I was 24 when I ran for the city council in Southfield, and that was 2011. So somehow I made it to 33 in the state Senate.
That's also, and two more years you could run for president.
That's true. We'll see what's going on nationwide at that time.
That would mean, but you wouldn't be 33, but you'd have to wait till 2024, and we'll see when. We'll one step at a time. Let's back
right,
up.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so you recently went to Israel. Was this the first time you're in Israel, Jeremy?
No, this is actually the fourth time that I've been in Israel. So this particular trip was a legislative trip. I know that we hear a lot about legislative and economic missions that Congress takes, but we also organize those on the state level because there is a huge economic opportunity for Michigan, the state of Michigan, to partner with Israel. So this was a legislative trip of about 14 legislators and legislative leaders for a seven-day marathon throughout the entire country just a few weeks ago.
Okay. Now, my civics class is from when I was in like maybe fifth or sixth grade. It's kind of like jingling in the back of my head. Isn't there something in the Constitution that says that individual states can't make any type of deals with individual countries? That has to be done in federal. If you're talking about a federal government there, then it has to be our federal government here. Can Michigan engage in specific individual deals that aren't set up by the federal government?
Well, states do have economic representation in Israel to kind of get a pulse on what's going on there. But specifically, I can tell you a good example. You know, many of our corporate entities that are based here in Michigan have a huge presence in Israel, which does impact us here in Michigan. Specifically, we toured Ford's R&D place in Tel Aviv. And obviously, all of the innovation that they're doing there, especially with autonomous vehicles, has a huge impact on Detroit's economy. So, you know, there are things outside the box that you just don't necessarily right away think, what is Michigan's strategic partnership with Israel and, why does it need to be fostered? But there's a lot of partnerships, not only in terms of businesses, but the Jewish Federation has a large investment in the Galilee area and has partnered on the ground with Israelis there to make sure that some of the resources from the Jewish Federation do make its way back to the Galilee region to spur economic growth there. So, you know, it's not just government actors working with government actors, but there's a lot of economic partnerships and philanthropic partnerships that help Israel grow, and we see the dividends pay off here in Michigan as well.
Okay, so where does then Senator Jeremy Moss fit into all of that? Seems like there's lots of people doing lots of things, and understood you have a title, but so what was your angle? What were you bringing to the table, Jeremy?
So you know, it's I'm proud of it, but I'm also a little bit saddened by it that I'm the only Jewish senator in the state Senate. There are two Jewish representatives in the House of Representatives, but you know, maybe a decade ago we probably had seven or eight Jewish legislators, and now we're down to just the three of us. And so when we talk about things that impact the Jewish community, Obviously, I'm carrying my voice along with many, many others who depend on me to speak out, who depend on me to talk about the Jewish community, to talk about our relationship with Israel, which obviously has made its way to the Twitter sphere quite a bit as of recently. And so for me to be able to go with colleagues who do not represent robust Jewish communities throughout the state, obviously, once you get outside of Detroit, it's, you know, we don't have these strong Jewish numbers outside of Oakland County. And so, you know, their interaction with the Jewish community is really me on a day-to-day basis at the state capitol, and their interaction with Israel is probably none. So for me to kind of be that liaison between my colleagues, the Jewish community, the state of Israel, it's a role that I'm proud to play, but I wish we need to engage more Jewish people prospectively to run for office and help make sure that our community is represented at the state capitol.
Okay. I think we're just still doing pretty good if you're talking about percentage of Jews living of the state population and now the percentage in the legislature. I'm going to ask you a somewhat intricate philosophical question. There has been murmuring in Detroit, in the district specifically, which is represented by Rashida Tlaib, her interests are not for the district, because this whole thing that was happening in the last couple of weeks with her going to Israel, not going to Israel, visiting her bubby, not visiting her bubby. And people are saying, well, we want somebody who's going to represent our needs, not their needs. So you wanted to take somebody, say, for example, I don't know who else went on the mission for, let's just say that the representative from Marquette went with you to Israel. What can he do now to come back to his constituency and say, well, that's very nice, you got this nice vacation on our taxpayer dollars that you went to go to the Holy Land and did all the stuff that they
No taxpayer dollars were spent, so I'll let you know that.
Right. That's good, okay. So, but we got problems in Marquette. What are you dancing all over there for? So how are you telling, or what are you giving to this, your representative, that he can go back to his constituency to tell them why it is that there be strong relationships, strong ties between specifically the Michigan legislature and Israel, Jeremy Moss?
So there's a lot of things to be able to answer that question. First and foremost, it was an educational and cultural mission. And so while it was certainly there was a huge Jewish focus to it, they were able to, and I joined with them, to tour some of the Christian sites that obviously were meaningful to them and to many of their constituents. But, you know, in terms of an economic benefit, Israel's on the cutting edge of so many different areas of economic growth. You know, security measures and all of the things that they're doing, innovatively to make sure that they can operate in a free functioning society while being safe and secure. And those are things that, you know, as we're talking about gun violence here in Michigan and around the country, we can learn a lot from Israel's measures to prevent catastrophic events from occurring. More than also, Israel's startup nation. In terms of figuring out how to get a young person with a good idea, the resources to grow that idea and to make it an economic boon for society as a whole. You know, we have, again, this strategic partnership between the Jewish Federation and areas of Israel to study what they're doing and to replicate it here in Michigan. You know, when we want young talent to invest in a community like here in Michigan, we need to figure out really what Israel's doing in order to foster those good ideas, to help support financially with other resources those good ideas, and create jobs out of it. Israel has figured that out. Israel has mastered that. And that's something that we could replicate that in Marquette. You know, the young Marquette student graduating, from college in the Upper Peninsula has a good idea. Let's not have that student escape to Chicago. Let's make sure that we can replicate what Israel does and help foster that young person's idea and grow it into a huge part of our economy. Israel's done that. And so that's something that these legislators, I think, learned throughout this mission in Israel.
Okay. I just really, if you're joining us just now, our guest today is State Senator Jeremy Moss. Represents the, where does your district go from where to where, Jeremy?
See, I almost had it. So it's 11 communities in southern Oakland County. So for the listeners that are in the area, it's Farmington and Farmington Hills, Southfield and Lathrop Village, Oak Park, Royal Oak Township, Huntington Woods, Hazel Park, Ferndale, Pleasant Ridge, and Madison Heights. So I represent a good portion of the Jewish community, you know, from Farmington Hills into Southfield into Oak Park and Huntington Woods.
And don't forget about the Jews in Ferndale. Yes, hello.
Anyway. And Ferndale. Ferndale. Oh, that's right. That's right. How could I forget? We got a thriving Jewish Ferndale entity going there.
Indeed. Okay, so what was the takeaway? What things are going to be implemented between now and the next time you feel it's necessary to go back to Israel in official capacity, Jeremy Moss?
Well, so I'll say this, you know, I mean, and I keep honing in on this, but, you know, Detroit put the world on wheels, and the fact that Ford has a presence in creating the next generation of vehicles around the world in Israel, I think is something that I'm probably most interested in monitoring. So we talk about an economic standpoint. I think some of the things that Ford is doing in the R&D space in Israel is certainly going to help drive Michigan's economy. But, you know, I, politically speaking, and I know this is like a hot potato, so I don't want to start a whole other segment here. As a Jew and as an American Jew, I'm fascinated by the politics of Israel. And obviously they have this election coming up. I'm kind of somebody who obviously pays attention to American politics, but you know, you dive into the Knesset election over there. It's just as interesting, just as volatile at times. We got a special election coming up, in a month or so there. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see what the next composition of government looks like, because that is going to be critically important for the future of American-Israeli relationships as well. So the next time around, I'm looking to see what economic advancement they make in terms of vehicles. But I'm also interested to see, you know, what is our continuing, hopefully thriving partnership with Israel going to look like in terms of the next government that's going to be set up.
Mm-hmm. Explain, if you could, State Senator Jerry Moss, the relationship that Israel, that Michigan has with Israel. Michigan is an anti-BDS state.
Yes, exactly right. So a few years ago, like I said, you know, we have a very small but mighty Jewish presence in the legislature. And I was able to co-sponsor legislation that limited the influence of BDS in Michigan government. And all that was saying was that, you know, Michigan's strategic partnerships, Michigan's, economic reliance around the world, we're not going to outpace our foreign policy. You know, we're not going to condemn our strategic partners here in Michigan and prevent economic opportunity. So we were on the front end of limiting the influence of BDS here in Michigan, and I co-sponsored that legislation. I would say the reason we were able to appeal across the aisle, the reason we were able to appeal to other legislators who might not, you know, like you said, the state legislator from Marquette who doesn't think about Israel on a day-to-day basis, is because of these economic missions that we do take, these legislative and cultural missions to Israel, so that the legislator from Marquette and everywhere else throughout the state better understands why we see value in a free and secure Israel, and why, Michigan doesn't want to outpace any of our national foreign policy by engaging in any sort of BDS movement. And that's kind of, you know, one of the long-term benefits to this trip, is to make sure that, we're able to get partners about that, get legislators who better understand the issue. I'll tell you one more thing that we were able to do is we were able to pass a mandate in education curriculum for teaching about the Holocaust.
It's a big thing.
And, you know, some folks don't like education mandates. You know, some folks, you know, I'm on the other side of the aisle, for me, don't like, you know, the state telling local school boards what curriculum to teach. But again, because legislators were able to go to Yad Vashem, and legislators were able to really better understand the Holocaust, you know, in Jerusalem, more so than probably anywhere else, you know, throughout Michigan, certainly could educate them. We were able to pass in an overwhelming way an educational mandate to make sure that Michigan students are learning about the Holocaust in a meaningful way, so that, you know, we were able to fulfill the mission of Never Forget. And that's another product of a trip like this.
Mm-hmm. It is pretty amazing when you think about it that Michigan is considered one of those Jewish states when you think that the population is about 7-8% of the entire state is Jewish. So I guess Jews are indeed leaving their mark. Our guest, if you're still tuning in, is State Senator Jerry Moss, representing the Southern District of Southeast Asia, Michigan, in the what we call the inner ring suburbs of Detroit. So we got a couple more minutes. What's happening hot that maybe our constituents should know about that's going on in the legislation, Jeremy?
Yeah, so, you know, aside from all of our foreign policy, we are trying to pass a state budget. And so the fiscal year in Michigan begins October the 1st. So right now it's August 23rd, and we got to get a budget done by September 30th at midnight. And that's kind of the only topic around town at the state capitol. And it impacts everybody. You know, it impacts our roads. It impacts our schools. It impacts you know, county services, also health services that are provided by the county, you know, and the funding that comes from the state. It impacts local funding. You know, how many police and firefighters can we hire at the local level based on funding from the state? So we are working diligently with the governor and our legislative leaders to pass a balanced budget by September 30th that solves all the problems, all the many problems that we face. And budget shortfalls in local governments as well, to create a good quality of life here in Michigan. So that is something that we have certainly a firm deadline of September 30th, and we will see what budget proposals come out and what our priorities are. You know, the governor has presented her budget back in March. It was a balanced budget that kind of met a lot of goals that at least the constituents that I represent require, which is, you know, money to fix roads and money to go into our public school system. And Republicans on the other side of the aisle haven't yet taken that up or passed that or given it to her for her signature. So they have an alternative proposal that we have yet to really vet, especially on road funding. And we're going to see what comes out of it, hopefully by September 30th.
Okay, that's wonderful. There's been, I have one more question, I think, which will probably lead to another three or four questions, but right now I just have one more question. There has been a regime change at in Oakland County with the passing of Elbrooks Patterson, who was a very good person. And I happen to like Elbrooks Patterson, and but he passed away, and there's a whole new philosophy. I'm very close with David Coter, who was the former mayor of Ferndale and is now taking his place as a county executive. There were things that Elbrooks Patterson was really against, which the people, say, for example, in Ferndale were really for. Is the state going to somehow weigh in, say, in like area transit for the greater Detroit area, which is like the big thing?
So, yes, absolutely. So I'll say this, too. So I represent a big southern swath of Oakland County. And for a generation, really, northern Oakland County has been driving the conversation. So when we talk about those inner ring suburbs, there's a lot that we need in terms of infrastructure and investment that we hadn't been getting for the past 25, 30 years. And transit is key to that. You know, to get around these dense populated cities and certainly get easily have an easy access to downtown Detroit, we probably see more need for it at the southern end of the county than in Clarkston, for example. So to have the opportunity for Ferndale Mayor Dave Coulter, a friend of both of ours, who is going to finally kind of change the tone, not only within the county, but with outside the county. It has been Oakland County versus Michigan. And now it's Oakland County with Michigan, Oakland County with Metro Detroit. And so it really is a new day at the county executive's office. And so, certainly nobody wanted the circumstances with Brooke's death of how there was a change in administration. And I'm sad about that aspect of it. But at the same time, I've been waiting for a new vision in the county executive's office for a while now. And I know that our friend Dave Coulter is going to make us proud.
I just think that we had all the Finman kids in last week, 2 weeks ago, and I had to do 5 trips to the airport. It's just like, hello, I would really like it if I could just drive 3 miles down to Telegraph and 9 Mile, drop my kid off. He gets into the light rail, which takes him right to the terminal. Bada bing, bada bing, cost him $2, whatever it was going to cost. And instead of me driving back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth.
So exactly right. And a lot of people depend on that.
Indeed. Okay, that's going to wrap it up for us. Our guest today has been Michigan State Senator Jeremy Moss, representing the southern area of Oakland County in the State Senate of Michigan, of course. We want to wish you continued success and keep us apprised of anything we might need to be apprised of, Jeremy.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on this morning. I really appreciate it.
It's our pleasure. Take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community, and Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813. Or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com. Hey, Schultzman, here you are listening to The Jewish Hour. That was pretty, I like that. Jeremy is a very great person. He's very smart person, knows his stuff, and he can be a state legislator for another, he's in his second year, maybe 6 years, I think it is, and that's it. And then he's got to go do something else, but keep your eye on him. He's going to do something else. He's young and he's forward mobile, so remember that name, Jeremy Moss. Up next, for your listening pleasure, I like this song. This is a redo of what has really become an Israeli classic. The words are Kol Olam Hu Gesher Tzar Me'od V'Ha'ikar Hu Lo L'Pachad Klal, which is the world is a narrow bridge, and the main thing is not to be afraid. It talks about what life is and that it really has, it's just like there's so many constraints and there's so many limitations and there's pitfalls, but if you keep your head down and keep focused on where we have to go, God will get you there. And this is Shlomi Friedman.
כל עולם כולו גשר, צר מאוד. כל עולם כולו גשר, כל עולם כולו גשר, כל עולם כולו גשר, צר מאוד.
Let's go.
שמיים והעיקר לא לפחד כלל באש וגם במים לא להרים ידיים והעיקר לא 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 לפחד כלל תרים את העיניים יש אב בשמיים והעיקר לא לפחד כלל באש וגם במים לא להרים ידיים והעיקר לא
Quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman, you are listening to the Jewish Hour. Up next, this one's dedicated to Sam, Dr. Sam, in Huntington Woods, who is, at this point, I would say, my biggest klezmer aficionado. This is the Yiddish Freilich, is the group, and it's called Spiel Klezmer. Let's play some klezmer music. Thank you. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have time for one more. This is Uri Tzadok. Keep your eye on this kid. He is going places. He's got a wonderful voice. And this song is called Kishahalev Bocha, When the Heart Cries.
כשהלב בוכה, רק אלוקים שומע. הכאב עולה מתוך הנשמה. אדם נופל לפני שהוא שוקע. בתפילה קטנה חותך את הדממה. שמע ישראל. נתת לי את חיי, נתת לי הכל. בעיניי דמעה, הלב בוכה בשקט. וכשהלב שותק, הנשמה זועקת. שמע ישראל אלוקיי, עכשיו אני לבד. חזק אותי
We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox
help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community, and Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813, or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com. Herschel Finn and here, you're listening to the Jewish Hour. The portion of the week is Re'eh. It is in chapter 11 of the book of Deuteronomy. There is a paradigm switch in the middle of this portion. We're up till now from Deuteronomy, from Dvarim Eschan and Akev, and now Re'eh. Moses has basically been doing recap. There have been mitzvahs that have been thrown in, but in the middle of the portion, there is a switch, and Moses just goes into, like, mitzvah mode. And there's just lists and lists and lists of mitzvahs from the middle of the portion through next week, Shoftim, Ki Tetzik, and half of Ki Savo. And then there's a paradigm shift again at Ki Savo till the end of the book, which will take us to the end of October. And then we'll start all over again from Breishi. Stay tuned. That's a good thing about Torah. There's always something to look forward to because it never stops. At this point, since we've already celebrated Shabbos Mevorchim Elul, the Shabbos which comes before the Hebrew month of Elul, the Hebrew month of Elul is one of two months that have no holidays in them. And we have no holidays in this month as we are preparing for the upcoming month, which is Chodesh HaShvi'i, that the word Shvi'i means seventh, but also can be translated as Savoya, satiated. It's a fat month with holidays. We've got Rosh Hashanah. We have the 10 days of repentance. We have Yom Kippur. There's the 4 days of getting ready for Sukkot. You have the 7 days of Sukkot, the 2 days of Simchas Torah, the day after Simchas Torah, Isru Chag, and then it's a week more, and then Tishrei is over. So where are we right now? So this portion is always read in conjunction with Elul. And this year, most of the times it's on the Shabbos Mevorchim, but this year it comes out that the first day of Elul is a Shabbos. And therefore, we are reading the sets the tone, you might say, for the whole month of getting ready for Rosh Hashanah. And you really don't have to look any further than the first word. First word of the portion, Re'eh, the name of the portion, which the portions, we've talked about this many times. The name of the portion is taken from the first important word of the portion. And in this case, the first word is see. Sort of like as in, look here. Or behold, or take note, or could you wake up already and smell the coffee? That's really what the tone of the word Re'eh is. And indeed, what is it that Moses is saying? See, look here. He's saying, look, I'm placing before you blessing and curse, life and death. So you have to take note, and you have to make this choice. We have to decide, where are we going to be this Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is, it's serious, but like everything else, when you're talking like from a Hasidic perspective, it also has to be in a very upbeat and joyous mood. One of the main tenets of the Baal Shem Tov was to do everything with joy. So it's true, we have to engage in coming back. The word teshuvah, which is translated repentance, means to come back. And as it's defined throughout the books, that what does it mean to repent? It means feel sorry for what the person did wrong till now, and resolve with a firm and absolute resolve. We're not talking about New Year's resolutions over here. We're talking business over here. I'm never going to do that again, because I know that having perpetrated what I perpetrated, it has caused a distance between me and the Almighty. And the Almighty is my source of my life. And the Almighty, it says, sits and waits and says every single day, when are my children going to come back to me? The Almighty, more than we want a relationship with the Almighty wants a relationship with us. And the Almighty is putting paths in front of us. You have the quick road. It goes straight to God. It happens to be, it's the road less traveled. It is hard. It's not as enticing looking. The roads that look really easy and really cool in the way that we, you know, I'm going to go, this is, that's the one. Those are usually not the roads to go. They usually take the person in the wrong direction. So our point at this time, when we come to this juncture, is where, which way are we going to go? Which way are we going to allow ourselves? In a month, we'll be standing in the synagogues on Rosh Hashanah. I don't have the exact date of Rosh Hashanah in front of me. I believe it's like the last Monday of Sunday night of September, if I'm not mistaken. And the world is being judged, and the Almighty gives what the world needs. And I've said this now, it's going to be 24 times that I've said this on this show around this time. Don't wait for Rosh Hashanah to put in your requests, because at that point, God says, okay, I'm busy, put it on the pile. Right now, the Almighty is taking your requests. And how is the Almighty taking his requests? Listen, business is doesn't start for a month. The Almighty's kicking it back this month. He's, you can quote unquote say, so to speak, the Almighty's on vacation. He's got the blue jeans on. He's got the Birkenstocks. I'm not saying he's wearing cargo shorts. I won't go, so God does not wear cargo shorts. Forget it. No. He's got the lemonade or the iced tea, the lounge chair. He's got the good book that he's reading over there, whatever. I guess we know what God's good book is. And he's kicking it back and he's taking it easy. And he doesn't mind come up and say, hey, listen, how you doing? He says, hey, I'm great. How you doing? And what can you do? What do you need? And you tell God, I need one of these, and I'd like to do some shots, and I really would like to get my slate clean from last year, from all the schmutz that I put on it last year. And God smiles at everybody. This is what it says in the book. I'm not making this up. I didn't make this up. Somebody, some very famous rabbis said, this is the way the Almighty's doing it. And these rabbis, there you had the in. We're talking 2,000 years ago. And the Almighty smiles at everyone and says, glad to do it. And you might even say the Almighty's like waiting. He's like looking at his watch, like, when's that guy going to show up already? Hello, it's like, it's late already. So don't be the last guy in. Okay. Rosh Chodesh Elul, which is when this whole business starts, will be blowing the shofar next on the first Sunday of September 1st. For a whole month, we'll be blowing shofar to arouse us, to get us in the mood to say, we want to come back. We want to be there. Speaking of coming back, we're going to be back in a minute. We're going to take a quick commercial break and be right back. Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Well, if you're listening on rabbifinman.com, just wait for the end of the podcast and then click on the homepage, and there you'll have a way of contacting me. If you're listening on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, radio.com, however else it is that you're listening to it, well, go on over to rabbifinman.com and pose your question, comment, query, criticism, whatever else it is that you'd like to pose. And I'll get right back to you. And the sooner you do it, the sooner I'll respond. You'll also find archived editions of the show going back. I think I checked it not too long ago. I think it's going back to like 2015 is how many. That's on my website. It may be that on iTunes or Spotify, it may go back much further because we were putting these up already from around 2009. So they don't get taken down. They're up there somewhere. And if you want to hear what I sounded like in 2009, I'll give you a hint. I sounded just like this. But the shows were different. It was different times. We played different music. That music is like, so 2009. But they're out there. You'll also find other ways in which we present Judaism in a fun and entertaining way. And you'll also find a very important donations page. The Jewish Hour is supported by our sponsors. But that's only in part. It has always been, from its inception in 1996, 24 years ago, a listener-supported station. And we have always relied to get the bills paid on people just like you. You're listening. This podcast has been going now for 52 minutes, and you're still listening. So go over to rabbifinman.com. Make a donation. It's all safe and secure. And if you have a PayPal account, you could even make it a monthly donation. And that way, you don't even have to think about it. It just happens. And everything is will be right then. One of the things that has to be done during the month of Elul is that a person has to make sure that they're giving away their 10%. It's not something which you can say, oh, that person is so cool. This is a person that tithes. Tithing is not a cool thing. Tithing is an obligation. The Almighty gives us 10% more income than we're allotted. And we have to give that 10% away. And ideally, you should give it away to charities that can do good things with it, rather than, say, your auto mechanic, unless you happen to like your auto mechanic, or your dentist, or whatever else, the roof on the house, whatever else suddenly needs repairs and fixing. The 10% is coming off the top. So that's 10% after taxes, but once you get your tax return, you have to take 10% of that as well. So like this, it's time to take stock. Am I up with my 10%? And start giving before Rosh Hashanah. If you want, listen, if you want to show God you mean business, you have to mean business. And charity is definitely one of the ways, it says specifically. And Elul is talking about increasing in charity, increasing in learning, increasing in davening, in praying, increasing in Torah study, I said that already, in acts of kindness, and increasing in even yearning for the Messiah to come is how we prepare. So do it today, rabbifinman.com. Don't like internet giving? Understood. Send your donation in an envelope or any other type of mailing receptacle and send it to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. This last week was the 75th anniversary of the passing of the Rebbe's father, Reb Lev Yitzchak Schneerson. His memory should be remain for as his righteous memory should remain for a blessing. He was for many years the chief rabbi of Ukraine's, I believe it's third largest city, has gone through many metamorphoses in its name. It was initially called Yekaterinoslav, which means Catherineville. And with the Bolsheviks taking over, it was changed to Dnepropetrovsk, which means the city on the river Dnieper. And now they just call it Dnieper, which is a whole lot, saves a whole lot of ink on your return envelopes when you change it from Dnepropetrovsk to Dnieper. So so he was the chief rabbi there, and he stood up when the communists came in, and especially when Stalin took over. There are many, many stories how he stood up in adversity. against them. One such story, it happened. It was around this time. It was midnight in 1932. Stalin is fully ensconced. The NKVD, which is a predecessor to the KGB, was doing its thing. You had the Yevsexia, which was the Jewish sect, which was trying to eradicate Judaism from the Jewish people. Midnight, he was sitting in his study. He heard a knock at the door, and he didn't understand the tension. At any moment, they could bang down his door and take him away, and he would never be seen ever again. And this happened to not dozens. This happened to millions of people. Swept away in the middle of the night, never heard of it ever again. Heard a knock at the door. He said, is this it? But he said, no. Those guys bust down doors. They don't knock. This is somebody who needs help. He opens the door, and there's an older woman there. She says to him, Rebbe, can I please come in? I have a very big favor of you. He says, what's the deal? He says, my son is getting married to a Jewish woman. And he is involved very much in the Communist Party. She is very much involved with the Communist Party. And I told them that a civil wedding is not going to cut it. They have to have a proper Jewish wedding with a chuppah, with a kedushin, with a ring, the whole business. They will be here at 1 o'clock. It has to be done secretly and silently and with a minimum of people. Will you do it, Rabbi? Rabbi said, of course, this is what I'm here for. So he immediately said, 1 o'clock. I have to get people up. So he went knocking on doors. Wake up. We need you to be the 10th man. You tell all 9 people, we need you to be the 10th man. Because if you're number 6, it's okay. Call me when you get 7, 8, and 9. We need you to be the 10th man. Come to my apartment. We're making a wedding at 1 o'clock. Everybody's assembled. It's 5 to 1. There's 9 people. The bride is there. The groom is there. They have their faces covered. They didn't want anybody to see them unless their face, oh, knows what kind of reaction from the communist government because of their doing this Jewish thing. So he said, where are we going to get a 10th man from? So the rabbi said, Grisha. Grisha is like Gregory. Grisha. Grisha was the superintendent of the building. He was a Jewish person who had been religious before 1917, but got caught up and got himself a good job as a superintendent and spy for the NKVD. And he was specifically planted as the superintendent of this building to watch Levi Yitzhak Schneerson and to report back all of the Jewish anti-government things that he was doing. We'll get Grisha. Said, Grisha? He's a spy for the government. He's a Jew. Went down, knocked on the door, woke the guy up, said, can I come in? He says, Rabbi, what are you doing? He says, 1 o'clock in the morning. He says, there's a couple upstairs that need to get married. We need a Jew to be the 10th man. Will you come? And he said, yes, Rabbi. And he came. And there was no... The audacity that the Rebbe's fathers had. This was how he carried himself. And it was this audacity that, unfortunately, in 1938, got him arrested and got him sent off to the other side of nowhere in Chile, Kazakhstan. And he eventually died in Almaty, which is where he's buried. And as we say, his memory should be for a blessing. That's going to do it. We hope you have a great week. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope to see you back again next week. Take care.